Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-born privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio and study the Word of God together. We're turning again in our Bible, the book of Matthew chapter number 4, and we continue our study dealing with temptations. And we're looking at the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're looking at Him as our example. And we've looked at two things already. We'll look at another today and then move on in our study of the Word of God. I pointed out, first of all, the timing of Christ's temptation. And we discovered from the Word of God it was that the temptation came immediately after He had accomplished the will of God. It came immediately after He was anointed with the Spirit of God. And it came immediately after He had the approval of the Word of God upon his life. Temptation does not always come at your weakest point in life. Often the most destructive ones come immediately after we have experienced a great mountaintop victory. Then I pointed out the testing of Christ's temptation. We discovered that the Lord Jesus Christ faced the same three avenues of temptation that Eve faced. He faced the same three that are described for us in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 16, where the Bible said, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." Eve looked at the fruit and saw that it was fruit to be desired. That's the lust of the flesh. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. That's the lust of the eyes. And she saw that it was to be desired to make one wise. That is the pride of life. In the temptation of Christ, we saw while He was hungry, Satan said to Him, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." That's dealing in the avenue of the lust of the flesh. We saw where it took Him up on the mountain and showed Him the kingdoms of the world, and said, "If you will bow down and worship me, I'll give these to you." We learned that's dealing in the avenue of the lust of the eyes. Then we saw where Satan took Him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down and show him you're the Son of God." This time we found that even the devil used scripture on the Lord. The devil is trying to detour Him from the cross and the purpose of His coming into the world. You and I face those same three temptations. I'll deal with that just a little bit later. But I want you to notice a third thing as we look at our example in temptation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only there's the timing, not only there's the testing, but I want you to notice the triumph of Christ in His temptation. There is a simple secret in these verses that we must learn. Notice, if you will, every time that Christ was tempted, He responded to that temptation with the Scriptures. And may I remind you, friend, that the Bible said in Ephesians that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is our only weapon of offense in the armor of God in Ephesians chapter number 6. Now notice in your Bible, if you will, in verse number 2 and verse number 3, Satan tempts the Lord Jesus Christ through the lust of the flesh. Turn the stones into bread. Notice verse number 4. The Bible said, "But he," that's Christ, "answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He simply answers Satan's temptation with a portion of the Word of God. And my friend, that must be our way of responding to temptation. Notice again in verse number 7, after that Satan has taken the Lord upon one of the pinnacles of the temple and said to him, "Cast yourself down if you be the Son of God. The angels will bear you up. Prove you're the Son of God." He tempts him in the avenue of the pride of life. But notice what he said in verse number 7. Christ responds to him again with the scriptures. Jesus saith unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So he responds to temptation with the authority of the scriptures. And may I say to you, friend, that is our source of response also. Notice again, if you will, the devil tempts the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 8 and 9, through showing him all of these kingdoms of the world, and said, "I'll give them you if you bow down and worship me." And there is the avenue of the pride of life. Notice what our Lord says in verse number 10. Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now I want you to notice, three times Satan tempts the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times Christ deals with that temptation with the scripture. Three avenues: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. To all three of these, Christ responds with the scripture, with the Word of God. May I remind you, there is no other argument offered. He does not remember an experience and try to defeat the devil with experience. Now, don't get offended at what I'm saying, but he does not try to deal with the devil in praying. He does not try to deal with the devil in singing. He does not try to overcome the devil in shouting, but he deals with the devil in the manner of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when you and I learn the Word of God, we allow the Holy Spirit to use it in the time of our temptation. Then we will find strength to stand in the face of temptation, to shun the temptation, to flee the temptation, to overcome the temptation, to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look at Christ, our example, in his temptation. And we saw the timing of his temptation. We saw the testing of his temptation. And we see the triumph over the temptation. Now then, I want to turn to the other side, and we're going to look at the Christian and how we deal with our temptation in this day. Notice, if you will, please, in the book of James, chapter number 1, verse number 14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Now, I want to point out, first of all, there you have the surety of temptation in the first part of verse number 14. The Bible said every man is tempted. Now, hear me, dear friend, today. I do not care how devoted you are to Christ in your Christian life. I do not care how long you have been a child of God. Every man is tempted. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl living who is in their right mind with any age on them, but what does not suffer temptation. You may look at some great Christian whom you admire and respect and say, "I wish I were as they are. It seems that they're never tempted." Well, the honest truth is, they just know how to hide it better, maybe, than you do. We do not know, no one else knows, what goes on inside the thought life of an individual. So, first of all, there is the surety of our temptation. Every man is tempted. Then I want you to notice, second, in these verses, there is the source of our temptation. Notice verse number 14 again. The Bible said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now I want you to notice in the last part of verse number 14, there are two sources of temptation. Maybe I should say there are two forces that work in our temptation. Number one, there is that inward force and source. Number two, there is the outward source and force. First of all, notice the scripture. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now, we've already found in the first part of this verse that every man is tempted. So none are excluded, all are included. And the same thing applies in this latter part of the verse. Every man inside him has lust, and the desire of that lust is to draw that person away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now, we blame most of our problem on the outward source. But I want to tell you, that's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is that lust that is within us. The reason that Christ could overcome every temptation and never sin was not because there was not that outward appeal in temptation and enticement to sin, but it was because of that inward source, who he was. He was God in the flesh. Our soul is saved, but our body is not saved. Our lust has not been eradicated. We still battle the opposition of our own lust. But there is the inward source. We're drawn away of our own lust, and then we are enticed. Now listen to me carefully. As you go down this road of life, you can withstand the temptation as long as there's not an opportunity. You can withstand the enticement and opportunity that is going on outside you and around you if there's not an inward lust pulling inside you. But friend, if that inward lust and that outward enticement, if that temptation and opportunity ever confront you at the same time, you better know something of the grace of God. So there's the surety of our temptation. Every man is tempted. There's the source of our temptation. He's tempted when he is drawn away with his own lust and enticed. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
The fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. Let me encourage you that you pray for the harvest time broadcast. You know the situation that our economy is in, and this radio ministry is sustained by the offerings of the people. We're broadcasting over 80 times a day. Several of the stations carry the broadcast free, but our radio bill still runs thousands of dollars every month. And we depend upon you, the listener. Several of the churches have had to cut back on their support, and some of the individuals are not able to support as they used to. But if everybody will do something, then we can keep the broadcast going for the glory of Christ. Let me encourage you, pray for the broadcast, and then write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure and include the call letters of the station that you listen to. And then join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
Oh, do not wait. It's growing.